Praise the Lord. Well, are you folks ready?
Ready.
I want everyone this time. All right. You're ready. Get set. All right. Let's say, praise the Lord. You can beat that. You can beat that. Come on. Praise the Lord. That's music. That's music. How many of you said it from your heart? There's just a difference in saying praise the Lord from your heart than just your vocal organs. It's a difference. You cannot say praise the Lord and mean it two or three times without feeling it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. I promise to just keep reminding you of the thought we introduced Monday night. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against their enemy. How many of you have an enemy? You want the Lord to set ambushment against him? All you got to do then is just start praising. Just start praising the Lord. Glory. Thank God. Glory to Jesus. I suppose it's just almost impossible. It would be probably unreasonable for me to expect everyone in a camp meeting to actually make themselves a part of that camp. You've just got to have a bunch of spectators. I don't want to say agitators. I don't believe there's any here. But just got to be somebody on the sideline, that, not to contribute to it, but just to kindly see how it goes. But how wonderful it would be, how wonderful it would be if especially every child of God, and most especially every one of you that's a part of this district, if you would just make yourself a part of this meeting tonight. This one tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you want to feel a part of it? Oh, hey. Hallelujah. Oh, to the God. Bless His name. Bless His name. Now, we're enjoying you very much. I wouldn't want to say that I'm enjoying myself. I just wonder how quick I'd want to get away from here if it wasn't for you. So I'm enjoying you here tonight and the blessings of the Lord. And I heard all of the Sunday school divisions bragging about plaques. I heard all about it. And I'm going back and tell it. I tell everything I know, everything I hear. I tell it. I told somebody one time, if you spent as much time in the pulpit as some of us do, you'd tell everything you know, too. You sure would. Praise the Lord. But I think it's wonderful. And I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't, percentage-wise, the strongest district in the UPC. I've been watching you for a long time. I've been watching you for a long time. You're always way up there, mission giving. Whatever it is, hallelujah, the Western District makes themselves known. And percentage-wise, and Brother Foss, you can go back and tell Texas, if I said it, I'm sure Louisiana will get it. I've learned everything you say, they'll get it. I've learned don't say nothing bad about nobody. They'll sure get it. You say something good about them, they probably never will hear nothing about it. But percentage-wise, I wouldn't be surprised if you aren't about the strongest district in the UPC. I'm sincere when I say it. And I love you, every one of you. Love God, and I love everything about the cause of God. Have no fault to find with the work of the Lord. It's been good to me. Has it been good to you? Just love the Lord again, will you? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm a little excited about the message tonight. I'm very well pleased with the thought I feel impressed with. You see, I've never learned how to preach. I don't know how to just take something and just make a sermon out of it. I've never learned that. I heard Brother Yeadon speaking of his beginning, and it encouraged me a lot. I first started preaching, there was no Bible schools to go to. And if there had been one across the street, I wouldn't have been able to have gone. I never had no one to teach me how to preach. No one. No one ever set me down and told me how to organize a sermon and then listen to me practice. All I know to do is just seek God and call on the Lord, and then whatever I feel impressed with the most, preach it. And when it's that way, you can usually get the pulse beat and the heartbeat of the congregation. Oh, it encourages me to get a message from my church that's inspiration and what I feel here tonight. And I feel in my heart that the Lord is going to challenge us as individuals tonight. Could you be challenged of the Lord? Could you be? Would you respond to the challenge? Or would you close him off and just shut him off? Oh, I feel happy about this tonight. I'm going to read from the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, beginning with the 13th verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm going to reread verse 16, a portion of it. Who hath believed our report? I want to say that again. Who hath believed our report? It did not say who has seen what was reported. It didn't say that. It didn't say who believes what they see, but who believes our report. Your faith is going to be challenged to believe a report tonight. You may not see a thing, but you're going to be challenged to believe. Now, if you turn your faith loose and believe, and believe. In the course of this message tonight, if there's someone that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, and faith grips your heart, you receive the Holy Ghost right out there in the audience. We'll stop. That's what we're all here for anyway. I'd rather see one person get the Holy Ghost as to preach to every one of you tonight. How many are in agreement with me? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Who hath believed our report. Now, you're living in an age that's against you believing a report. You're living in an age that wants to see before they believe. And that's where you live. You say, sight me. We even brag, I've heard people brag about, I believe nothing I hear and only half I see. And brother, they're bragging on themselves when they say it. I don't believe nothing I hear, and I don't believe over half of what I see. Then I hear people say, I am from Missouri. You've got to show me before I believe. That's the age you live in. You're living in a day when the world displays its commodity on a screen before the very eyes of the people. They want you to see their commodity. They're not asking you to believe without seeing. That very spirit is coming on into our churches. I'm not condemning it. Our Sunday school teachers have visual aids. They tell me that the eye gate retains 10 times as much as the ear gate. And I'm not here to condemn that. That may be true. But God, in His wisdom that I do not question, has still chosen the ear gate. Would you hear me? Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on Him in whom they do not believe? And how can they believe on Him in whom without they have not heard? Not seen, heard. The Lord wants you to believe what you hear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you. Give the Lord a wave offering here tonight, will you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want faith to grip our hearts. Praise God. I believe in this camp meeting somebody can be healed of a sickness tonight. I believe you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can be inspired. God bless your heart. God wants you to believe Him for anything tonight. Just anything that you need. He's here to supply that need. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to remind you of an incident that happened immediately after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He appeared to some of His disciples, to Peter, James, John, all of the disciples, but Thomas. They saw Him with their eyes. Jesus has risen from the dead. And these disciples saw Thomas. And they said unto Thomas, and I know you've heard this, but I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me. When they saw Thomas, they said to Thomas, He has risen. Jesus has risen. Now, who's telling him? Peter, James, and John. Men that Thomas had been with for some 3.5 years. They had shared the ministry of Jesus. They had shared hours and days with Him. They had become close friends and colleagues, these disciples and these apostles. If a stranger would have walked up to Thomas and said, He has risen, he may have been justified to some extent to say, I do not believe it. But why wouldn't he believe Peter? Why wouldn't he believe John? Why wouldn't he believe the other apostles? They knew one another so well. I'm going to be honest with this audience tonight. There's ministers in this congregation
I would believe anything they tell me. I know them that well. Brother Haskell Yaden, anything he tells me, I would believe it, because I know him to be a follower of the Lord. Why would Thomas insult the integrity of these men of God by saying, I will not believe what you tell me? And that same old spirit is gripping the hearts of men and women today. I will not believe. Oh, God bless your heart. You may live next door to a devoted saint of God. You may be under the ministry of the same minister for 25 or 30 years. You've seen him walk with God. You've seen him live for God. You've seen him in the fire. You've seen him in the valley. You've seen him on the mountaintop. God bless your heart. You cannot attack his character. You cannot attack his integrity. Then why won't you believe what he preaches? Why won't you believe what he has to say? But it's just as Thomas. I am an individual. I believe what I want to. And what I don't want to believe, I do not believe it. But my friends, if you enjoy the blessings of God, you're going to have to believe something that you hear about the Lord. Praise God. I want to say it again. If you want the blessings of God, you're going to have to believe somebody, praise the Lord, that tells you about the Lord. Because the Lord has chosen preaching to save them that believe. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him in whom they have not heard? The Lord's faith in you is this, that you'll believe him when you hear about him.
Thomas, he's an individual. I just won't believe it. Now you're going to have to cite me. Now I'm going to tell you, friends, I'm going to be honest to this audience tonight. God doesn't owe you one thing in the world to prove himself to you. He doesn't owe you anything. Nothing. You may sit there and say, oh, if I could just see a miracle. If I could just see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. God doesn't owe you one thing for you to see. He had chosen hearing of the gospel. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed? I can't forget conducting a tent meeting in Wheeling, West Virginia years ago. There was a little lady that worked in the office of a Jewish doctor. She had the Holy Ghost. She invited this doctor and his wife to the tent revival. And they came and sat with her right near the front. I commended her. I felt that I owed it to her. God bless you, young lady. You have so conducted yourself on your job with your doctor, employer, and with his wife, that they have such confidence in you that when you invite them to your church, they'll come with you. I want to commend you for it. I want to commend you. That could be one reason why many of you never invite nobody that works with you to church with you, because they know you so well. They know you so well. They've seen you in the fire. They've seen you when you mashed your finger. They've seen you when things went wrong, when you lost your temper, and you'd sing a little better if they wasn't there. You could worship a little better if they were not there. God bless you. This little lady brought her doctor, employer. He sat in the audience right up close. We gave the altar call. People came to the altar. And while we were in the altar service, I noticed more people praying than usual. A lot of the saints gathered up. I noticed they stayed longer. They stayed till 10:30. They stayed till 11 o'clock. They stayed till 11:30. And even after midnight, they were still there praying. But the doctor and his wife were there. And finally, the doctor and his wife got up and left, and they all stopped praying. And the service was over. And some of them came around to me and said, Brother Glass, did you see who was here tonight? I said, are you referring to the doctor and his wife? And they said, yes, I am. I said, sure, I saw him here. I met him, went and spoke to him, talked with him a few minutes. Said, oh, if somebody could have just got the Holy Ghost tonight so they could have seen it. I said, is that what you were praying for? Is that why you were in the altar asking God to fill that soul so that doctor could see it? Let me tell you, friends, God don't fill people of the Holy Ghost on those conditions. Did you hear me? God will fill nobody with the Holy Ghost here tonight so somebody can see it. The only way God will fill a soul is for that soul to believe God, and God will come in regardless of who's here. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Who hath believed our report? Thomas, can you believe what you're hearing? No, sir, I don't believe it. The only way I'll believe it, I'm going to have to see the nail prints in his hand. I'm going to have to see that wound in his side. I know they pierced his side. I know they nailed him to the cross. And the only way I believe it is to see those scars. I won't even recognize his face. I won't recognize his person. I'm going to have to see the scars. I'm going to be hard to convince. God bless your heart. You can play hard if you want to. You can sit back there and say, I'm hard. You can go to hell being hard, my friend. But if you believe God, you can have the blessings of God in your life. God, challenge in your faith tonight. Challenge in your faith. Can you believe? Can you believe? Thomas, why can't you believe? Looks like you could have believed Peter. Looks like you could have believed John. When have they ever misrepresented anything to you? Why is it you can't believe their report? If it would have been some old stranger out there, it would be different. But these men have credentials. They followed the Lord right along with you. They were with him up and down Galilee and the Judean hills. They were with him, with you, when he broke the bread. They know him, Thomas. Why would you have to die? You still got to show me. And on one occasion, they were together behind locked doors, and Jesus appeared in their midst. He knew everything Thomas had said. Knew all about his doubting. Knew all about his unbelief. Jesus appeared in their midst. And he looked at Thomas, looked at him, and then held out his hands. Come on, Thomas, put your hand in these scars. Come on and feel of them, Thomas. Come on, Thomas. I know he's wilting. I know he remembers everything he said. He's somewhat surprised that Jesus is just calling his attention to what he'd already said in the past. Then the Lord throws his robe back and says, come on, Thomas, and put your hand in my side. Come on and put it in my... And don't be faithless, Thomas, but believe. And Thomas fell down at his feet, and he said, my Lord and my God. And that's all true. That's all true. But here's what I like. Here's what I like. And I want you to hear me say it tonight. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, thou hast seen and believed. But blessed is that man. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man who hath not seen, yet he believes. Oh, praise. Blessed. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man in the California camp. On this August night, I forgot the day, but I do know it's Thursday night. Blessed is that man in the chair who have never seen nobody healed. They've never seen nobody receive the Holy Ghost. They've never seen a miracle. But they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They believe the Word of the living God. They believe it. They believe it. They believe it. They believe it. Blessed is that man. Blessed. Blessed. Let me introduce some others to you who didn't see nothing. Never privileged to be in a church house in their life. Never heard a choir sing. Never heard a sermon, but they heard a report. They heard a report. It didn't come firsthand. It didn't come direct, but they heard it, and they believed. I'm going down into Syria for a few moments. I'm going to introduce to you a leper that's dying of leprosy. No doubt in my mind he's gone to the greatest physicians that Syria could afford because he was a valuable man. The king loved Naaman. He was captain of the Syrian host. And he was loved and appreciated, and he was dying of leprosy. But God situated a little missionary, just a little lady missionary, in the home of Naaman as a servant. She didn't have a church to send her down to Syria by a jet airplane and some partners in missions like we have today. Didn't have a missionary program then. God had to take her down there as a little slave. And I know he had to know who he was dealing with to take one as a little slave. She could have been embittered to have to serve Naaman and his house and here as a slave to you. But she wasn't embittered. She loved Naaman and she loved her God. And she saw him daily dying of leprosy. And she uttered out a little testimony that anybody in the world could have given. She said, "Oh, that our Lord Naaman would go to the prophet in Israel. And there he could be healed of his leprosy." Naaman didn't hear her say that. He didn't hear her say that. Somebody else heard her and they told Naaman. Naaman got it second-handed. But he's heard a report. There's a prophet down in Israel that can heal me of my leprosy. He's heard a report. Can you believe it, Naaman? Can you believe it, Naaman? You've never seen nobody healed. You've never known of nobody being healed, but there's a prophet in Israel that can heal you. I want to tell you tonight, friends, there's a Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, here tonight that can heal your body. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Heard a report. Heard a report. And they that believe the report they hear, to them the arm of the Lord is revealed. Naaman was miraculously healed of his leprosy. Why? He believed a report. He believed. He believed. Let me go down into Jericho with you. Oh, sometime early part of this year, I thought so much about Jericho as we were there among the old ruins of the city. Jericho. This is Jericho. This is Jericho. In this city, one time lived a woman that was known as a harlot by the name of Rahab. On the walls of this city, she lived. Stranger to the Lord. Stranger to the promises of God. But some way, somehow or other, she heard what was transpiring back here at the Red Sea. She heard about it.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how many voices it went through. I don't know how many different ones it told. I don't know. But she heard about it. Not from a missionary that went from among the Israelites into Jericho to minister. No, it just went from mouth to mouth, mouth to mouth. But she heard. And she's running a rooming house on the walls of the city. A couple of strangers come in to rent a room one night. And she rents them a room. And they retire. And after a while, here comes somebody from the king's palace. Says there's two strangers from among the Israelites here among you. And when she heard that there's some Israelites here in this house, she makes up her mind, I'm going to assist them. I'm going to help them. And they're going to help me. And she hides these men up on the rooftop. And eventually she goes up there and she says, "Hey, I hear that you're from among the Israelites. We've heard what God has done for you. We heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea. And listen to what she said. She said, we know that God is going to give you this country. God's going to give you this land. And wait a minute, friends, let me say this to you. Wouldn't it have been good if the Israelites could have believed that? I want you to think with me. Wouldn't it have been good if the Israelites could have believed that? Wouldn't it have been good if those 10 spies could have believed that? I want to show you the unbelief that God fought with the Israelites. And I feel it bouncing back at me here tonight. I feel it. Ministers know what it is. Know what it is to fight unbelief. We're battling it here tonight. But I say God is challenging you to believe Him. There was Israelites that came across the Red Sea on dry land. Their feet didn't even get soiled with mud in the bottom of the river or the sea. Walked across with walls of water on either side. They couldn't believe that God was going to give them the land of Canaan. But here's one that didn't see the Red Sea divide. She didn't walk across on dry land. And she said, I know that God is going to give you this land. Why? She hears a report and she believes what she hears. Why can't we believe tonight? What grounds do we have to stand on? What argument do you have to offer of unbelief? Who hath believed our report? She believed it. I studied along with this discourse today, almost persuaded to use it for a starting point instead of what I used. When the 10 spies came back from Canaan's land with all the fruit and their testimony, they had a general assembly to allow them to testify. They said, the land is everything you said it to be. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. We cannot deny that. Here's the fruit. But we're not able to possess the land. There's giants in that land. And we are as grasshoppers in their sight. We're not able to possess the land. Joshua screams out, we're more than able to possess the land. Let us go over and take the land. And then they seem like, the service is closed for the night. And there was weeping and wailing all night long. Moses laid before the Lord. Joshua and Caleb laid before the Lord. The next morning they reassembled. And Caleb screamed out, we are more than able to possess the land. And then the Israelites wanted to stone them. Wanted to do away with them. They cried to go back to Egypt. And then God spoke to Moses, and he said, how long will it be ere this people believe me? How long will it be ere this people believe me? All the miracles that they've seen, they've got clothes on their back that will not wear out. I won't let them go threadbare. They've got shoes that will not wear out. I've been feeding the manna every day. They've been drinking from a rock, cool, sparkling water. I've delivered them from the hands of the enemy. Why won't they believe me? And I say here tonight, all that God's done among us, why can't we believe Him tonight for anything in the world? Why can't we believe Him? Why can't we believe Him? So hard to convince. I saw a little lady here the other night. I just knew she received the Holy Ghost. I just knew she did. She was slain under the power. Right over here on this hard concrete. Prostrate, flat on her back. Worshiping God. Praising God. I knew she received the Holy Ghost. And she got up and didn't accept it. I've seen people speak in tongues. And I've heard them speak in tongues. And then will not believe. Will not believe. I was holding a revival meeting in Columbus, Ohio, a few years ago, Sister Glass and I. What a revival we had.
There was a man in that church, an elderly man. He bragged about it. He'd been seeking God for the Holy Ghost 33 years. I sought God, Brother Glass, under Brother Witherspoon's ministry. He seemed to be so proud. He had a record. Nobody else in that country had sought God that long. And he seemed to be proud of his record. People getting the Holy Ghost all around him. One night I was preaching along the lines I am right now. And I just stopped and said, I challenge someone to believe God for the Holy Ghost right now. Get up to your feet and walk down this aisle. A great, big, tall young man attending a university stood up in the back of the building, and he come marching down that aisle. Seemed like he was almost in a trot. And before he bent his knee to kneel in an altar, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. But this man, he's got a record. He wants to keep that record. And he saw 60-some people get the Holy Ghost all around him. But the meeting closed, and he never did receive it. He still got his record, the last I heard. And one night, he was standing up. He was standing up with his hands up like this. And he was just in his foot. Glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And God got a hold of his right hand. He was in his 70s. And I've never seen a young man shake his hand like that hand was a shaking. Oh, it just looked like it's shaking so fast. I couldn't see it. Hardly see his fingers. He just kept on. But he's just in his old rut. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. And that hand just a going. After the service was all over, I went around to him. I said, Brother, did you know your right hand was a doing this? Did you know it? He said, No, was it? I said, Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was just a going this away. I said, You know what? God showed you, I'll take a member of your body that you're not guarding, that you're not holding on to, and I'll show you what I'll do with it. If you'll give me your tongue, I'll do it that way. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who hath believed our report? This Gentile said, God's going to give you this city. Going to give you this land. God is, when the Israelites themselves could not believe it. I've seen sinners come in right recently in our own church. I've seen people come in that's never set under the sound of a Pentecostal sermon. Come walking right in the building and sit down, and before the service is concluded, have the Holy Ghost in their pew. I've seen that. Here not too long ago, a black lady came in. A nice black lady. She was a musical director in the junior high school. Dignified lady. She came in and sat down in our services. She was the only black person there. And while the service was in progress, before we'd ever even started preaching, that black lady's hands went up, praise God, and she received the Holy Ghost and came out of that aisle, worshiped and praised Him and blessing God. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Took her to the baptistry. First black person I'd ever baptized. Took her to the baptistry. That's in deep South Louisiana. But don't you black people feel too bad. God bless your heart. God's a working on those stiff-necked, hard-hearted people there. And they're beginning to realize that God loves a soul. It's a soul God loves, regardless of the color of the skin or the language they speak. It's souls. Praise the Lord. This is what they'll do when they receive the Holy Ghost. Wife took her, some of the ladies, dressed her for baptismal service, and she had a beautiful white knit dress. They hung it up back in the dressing room and put a bathrobe on her, her baptismal robe, and I took her to the baptistry, and while I was baptizing her, they were preparing another lady. And here was that beautiful, expensive, white knit dress hanging in the dressing room. And they put that on the next candidate for baptism. And we baptized a black lady. She went out and didn't have a dress to put on. We have a washer and dryer in the church, in the apartment of the church, and wife takes this white dress and runs to the dryer and has to dry it, and then the lady puts it on, and I was so glad she'd just received the Holy Ghost. If it had been some of these old heads that haven't prayed through in 6 months, I'd have had a problem on my hand. But you never have a problem with a new one. God bless your heart. You don't have problems with new babes in the Lord. They understand. They understand. They understand. We'd have used some of those women in that church's $75 or $100 dress for a baptismal robe. They'd have quit the church. They'd have wanted us to pay them for it. But you know what they need? It's just a new baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what we all need. I want you to hear me, friends. That's what's needed today. The next night, her husband came back. Was in a revival meeting. And before the preacher got to preach, he left the aisle and came down to the altar, never did kneel. But while we were worshiping God with him, the Lord gloriously filled him with the Holy Ghost, and we baptized him in Jesus' name. Now that man and his wife have got a colored church in DeRidder. Praise God, they're preaching! I tell you, friends, oh, you that sit among us, there are people sitting here tonight that haven't enjoyed a move of God in their souls for a number of years, but people are coming from the outside world. They're sitting down, and they're believing, they're of course. They're believing, they're of course. They're believing. I want to say this to you, you that sit in this audience tonight, and you're allowing the devil to put off some old hypocrite on you. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. If you didn't know a real saint of God, you wouldn't know a hypocrite when you saw him. You've got to know the real, the genuine, before you can recognize the counterfeit. And God's going to hold you responsible for what he's made you to see. You don't have a leg to stand on tonight. You don't have a leg to stand on tonight. God's calling you to believe him. God's challenging you. God's challenging you. Rahab believed the report. No, it didn't come from a camp meeting platform. It didn't come after a beautiful song or beautiful music. It didn't come after a crowd of several hundred people saying, as you did tonight, as you worship tonight. It came from coal, maybe from indifferent people that just spreading the latest news they heard. But when she heard it, she believed it. She believed it. She said to these men, now I'm going to help you, and I want you to help me. I'm going to help you escape, and when God gives you this city, I want you to help me. They bargained with her. She let them down for a scarlet cord in the back window of the house. Down the wall of the city. They said, if you'll leave this cord hanging from the window, it's this red scarlet cord hanging from the window. When God gives us this city, we'll spare this house and all there is in the house. Oh, friends, there's a message there. God bless you. There was only one house. There was only one house in all Jericho that is going to be spared. And it wasn't because of the strength of the house. It was a red cord that was hanging from the window. I want to tell you, friends, there's only one church in this whole world that's going to be saved. One church, one church, one church, one church. She believed. She believed in that scarlet cord. Oh, what faith. What faith. She became a missionary in Jericho.
I don't know whether she was even commissioned or not. But she began to work on people to get them in her house. God bless every one of you that's worked in this camp to get people under the sound of the gospel. God knows it. God knows it. If you'll come in my house, you'll be spared. When Jericho falls, if you'll be in my house, you'll be spared. Well, they could ask her questions just like people ask us today. What's the difference in your house and my house? What's the difference in your church and my church? I tell you, there's a lot of difference in your church and my church. A lot of difference. I told somebody not too long ago, it's a very beautiful slogan, go to the church of your choice. You don't have a choice. You do not have a choice. Oh, sir. Oh, sir. Naaman had no choice as to what river he would dip in. No, in his carnal mind, he said, why can't I go to the rivers of Damascus? God bless you, Naaman, you can. You can get just as wet in the rivers of Damascus as you do in Jordan. But it's not getting wet that's going to do the job. It's obedience to what God said for you to do. Glass and I were in Pensacola, Florida in a revival. Assistant pastor came up to me and he said, Brother Glass, don't mind looking because she sent me after you. Pointed to her and she is looking. See this lady right over here? She wants to talk to you about some scripture. Go talk to her. I went back there and I sat down with her. She said, Brother Glass, right here. She pointed me to it. Right here. Jesus told me to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I said, no, He never. What? I said, no, He never. He never told you to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, Brother Glass, it's right here. Read it. I said, no, you read it. Now you read it. She started reading. Go ye therefore. I said, is He talking to you? Well, I don't guess He was. I said, read on. And teach all nations. Was He talking to you? Is He speaking to you? I said, well, no. I don't guess He was. I said, read on. Baptizing them. Is He talking to you? Did He tell you to go baptize? No, He never. I said, read on. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I said, all right, now you have agreed that He's not talking to you there. Now you tell me, who was He talking to? Well, He was talking to preachers. I said, then I'll ask you this question. Does a preacher have a right to baptize anyone until they know what the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is? I'm going to ask you, are you a mother? Yes, I have children. Do you have any business transacted in Pensacola in the title of mother? You have a charge account uptown in the title of mother? What if your daughter was to go to your department store and buy you some clothing and say, charge it to my mother? Would they write down mother on the bill? She said, I don't guess they would. I said, they're good businessmen, aren't they? She said, yes, they are. I said, are they any better business-minded than my Lord is? lets you use the titles. He used them. You can worship the Father. You can love the Son. But when there's power invested, it's in the name. It's in the name. It's in the name. Well, she thought for a few minutes. I let her think. Don't push them. Kind of let them take their time. She thought a little while. I saw a smile come over her face, and I knew she had an answer that she felt good about. She said, "Brother Glass, I'll tell you how it was." She said, "You're right." Said, that did mean to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, "I read the Acts of the Apostles where they baptized in that name," but said, "I don't think it makes a lot of difference just as long as you're baptized." She thought she had the answer. I let her just rejoice in her reply for a few moments. I knew I was coming back, but I let her rejoice a little. Don't come back too quick. Let them feel real good that they've accomplished something. Then I said, "Now, I notice you're acquainted with the Scripture. You're acquainted with the Scripture. I notice you are. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. Did it make any difference what river Naaman dipped in? Did it really make any difference of all the rivers there were in the world? Did it make any difference with God which river Naaman dipped in?" She said, "Well," and I saw she hadn't an answer. Kind of puzzled her for a moment, but she come back with a good answer. I saw her expression. She said, "Well, Brother Glass said, Naaman was stiff and starchy. He was a captain of a Syrian host, and the Lord wanted him to do what he told him to do. He wanted Naaman to humble himself and do exactly what he told him to do. See, he was stiff. He was starchy. So the Lord made him baptized in the River Jordan." I said, "Now let me ask you one more question. Are you too stiff and too starchy to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ?" Most all of you people, especially you ministers, most all of you know Brother T.F. Tenney, Brother Tom Fred Tenney. He is now our foreign missionary director. His mother and dad was attending our church, the Ritters, his home, years ago, some 25, 6 years ago now. They were just coming, and his mother wanted to come one night, was in a revival, and his dad brought her, but he was a businessman. He had a business engagement, and he told Tom Fred, who was a sophomore in high school then, he said, "About 8:30, a quarter to 9, you go by the First Pentecostal Church and pick up your mother." Well, we're not over at 8:30 or quarter to 9. Anybody come to our church, they're not ready to go home then. And I remember just as well the night that he came in. He and my oldest son graduated together. He came in and sat down with our oldest boy. And I can't forget it. But he had to stay longer than he intended to. And after the service was over and it came up to the altar service, and he was still in the back. First time he was ever in a Pentecostal church in his life. And one of the men in the church that was a good friend to the Tenney family went back to him, began to talk to him about the Pentecostal message. And he said, "I don't believe it." Brother Tenney said, "I don't believe this." Brother said, "Well, will you believe it if I show it to you in the Bible?" He said, "It's not in the Bible." He said, "Yes, it is. If I read it to you." And he opened Acts 2:38 and read it to that sophomore in high school. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, is that in the Bible? Let me see that. And he took it and he read it. He said, is that in my Bible? He said, Tom, that's in your Bible. He said, I don't believe it's in my Bible. He said, yes, it is in your Bible. He said, if that's in my Bible, I believe it, and I'm going to receive it. Never heard a sermon in his life. First time he's ever in a church. Came back the next night, he found it in his Bible, and he got the Holy Ghost, and you know where he is tonight. Who is it that will believe the report? Believe the report. Believe the report. Believe. Challenging you to believe right now. How long will it be ere this people believe me? Folks, if you think I'm asking a little too much of you, listen to the message of Rahab. I'm going to say this in all sincerity tonight. You better be thankful and glad that you're privileged to live today. If you can't believe God's message today, you never would have believed God in no messenger that ever went with a message. If you can't believe here tonight, could you have believed Noah? Answer it. In this atmosphere that you sit in tonight, with all you've felt and seen and heard, if you can't believe now, you could not have believed Noah. If you cannot believe tonight, you could not have believed Jonah in Nineveh. If you cannot believe tonight, you would not have believed Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. If you can't believe tonight, you never could have believed God in no dispensation of time. You're fortunate and blessed to live tonight. Why don't you? Why don't you turn your feet loose? Rahab believed the report. On down in the records of the New Testament, listed with the march of the conquerors, listed with the greats of the greats, name recorded in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, book of Hebrews, she believed the report. She was spared and found a place among the Israelites. She married an Israelite. Later on, she married an Israelite. His name was Salmon. To Rahab and Salmon was born a young baby boy. His name was Boaz. Later on, Boaz married Ruth. And Rahab became Ruth's second mother-in-law. She found a place in the family of God. All because she believed the report. Can you believe tonight? Believe tonight. Stand up, will you please stand up? Let's believe the Lord for just a few moments. Pushing all doubt and unbelief aside, brushing it aside, and believe God. Believe God. Let's just tell Him we believe Him for a few moments here tonight. Just tell Him you believe. Just tell Him you believe. Tell Him you believe.
Just love the Lord. Tell Him you believe Him. Tell Him you believe Him. Tell Him you believe Him. Praise the Lord. 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 Just believe the Lord. All over the building. All over the building. Just raise both hands and wave them. Just wave them. Just wave them. Wave them. Believe in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. What I ask you to do tonight, I want you to cooperate with me. I want you to. Not too many of you can do this. There isn't room. But I want some people in this audience that really have a concern for somebody that needs God tonight. I want you to come and stand right in front of these chairs facing the audience. Facing the audience. Come and stand right here. You that have the Holy Ghost and really have a concern. Somebody in this audience you'd like to see filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to come. You can line up all around. You can line up around here if you want. If there's enough of you, come. Just line up. Sing a line all around. All around here. Just come and stand. Just come and stand. Just come and stand. That's going to be enough. That's going to be enough of you. That's enough. Thank you so much. That's better response than I expected. God bless you. God bless you. Just sing a line. Back up. Back up. All the way back here. Back up against this table. Back here. You've plenty of room, plenty of room, plenty of room. All right, what are you going to do now, Brother Glass? Well, you just listen, you just listen. Now, all of you in this audience that do not have the Holy Ghost, here are some burdened hearts for you. Here they are. Here they are. Faith is high here tonight. Faith is high here tonight. If you want the Holy Ghost, if you want the Holy Ghost, you come up here and face any of these you want to. Just any of you want to pray with you, you come right on up here right now. Come right on right now. Come on. Where are you out there in the audience? Come on. Come on right now. Come on. Pray, all of you that's not coming. You pray while these that come. God bless this young man. God bless him. God bless this one. Come on from somewhere in this audience. From somewhere in this audience. Come on right now. Come on. Come on, you out there. Come on. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on right now. Come on. God bless you as you come. God bless you as you come. Pray, you out there in the audience that's not moving. You pray for these that are coming. God bless this young man. God bless him. God bless him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody pray again out there. Pray again out there. We're not releasing the audience yet. We're not through with the audience yet. There's somebody else out there that needs to come and receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're waiting for a few more before we release this audience. All of you in the audience, keep on praying all the way back there in the back of the building. Keep on worshiping God. Don't give up. Keep on. keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! A few more of you saints that want to, come and get up here with them. Come crowd up here with them if you want to. Come on. They're still coming. They're still coming. Come on. Come on, saints. Crowd up around them. Let's believe God for the Holy Ghost here tonight. Praise the Lord! 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 Keep on worshiping. Keep on worshiping God. Keep on worshiping God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship all over the building. All over the building. Worship God. What a rally we could have here tonight if all of you would cooperate. Please don't start visiting yet. Please don't start visiting yet. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Visiting yet. You're still in church. All of the service is a very important part of a service. Don't start visiting yet. Pray. Be in prayer. Be in prayer. They're receiving the Holy Ghost up here. Be in prayer back there. Please, please, please.